All right. Welcome, everyone. This is the 112th episode of the Toddcast, because I screwed up the counting a couple episodes ago. This is the actual number that we have. I am John. With me, as always, is Bo.
How we doing?
So, we're just going to kind of cruise through this and see how it goes and rock and roll and go to town. So we have a couple events that are coming up. One is something that I kind of screwed up on, but you know what? It's cool because you can all benefit from it. So our Cyber Monday sale, which was like, what, 10 days ago? Mm-hmm. It's totally now still available on our website. So if you are interested in checking that out, go onto our website and you go to ndcomics.com/shop. You can choose a store and you just pick the store, go to Graphic Novels. They're all already 20% off. You just pay for shipping if you want. You can get it in store as well, which is also cool. And what I've actually told a couple customers was, if you buy something in one of the other stores and let's say you are one of Bo's customers out in Ohio and you shop on the Cranberry website, because you have to shop each store individually, and you like one of the books they got, you can buy it on there, hit pick up in store, and then just contact that store, just shoot them a quick email and say, hey, I'm actually an avid customer at the Ohio store. Can you transfer that? Can you just send it there so I don't have to pay shipping? 100% cool. We will always do that. Not a problem. Just got to pay for it, and then we'll just send it. It's going to take probably the same amount of time that it would to mail it, to be honest, because, it is that crazy time of year. So, go check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. But 20% off Graphic Novels, and that will end next Monday for sure, because I will remember to turn it off on Monday. So you have through this weekend to do it. Then we have the basement sale coming up. Last weekend of January, last Saturday of January, we will be doing some early bird days for that, probably the 2 weeks before that. I am waiting to confirm pricing for early bird and box pricing. So hopefully I'll have that all posted for everybody by the end of the weekend. That'll be great. And also, if you shop on our online store, don't forget, you can also get one of our awesome, like, support your local comic shop shirts. You can also shop our eBay selection and our Amazon store. So check out all those things if you've never been to it. It's just ndcomics.com. If you actually type out newdimensioncomics.com, it'll forward you right to it anyway. Just click the little shop button in the menu and you're good to go. All right. Let's talk some comics. My first book is the Tales from the Dark Multiverse Flashpoint. So while it was kind of cool to revisit this whole thing, and I thought the art was pretty solid too. Andrew Curry inked everything that Brian Hitch did, because Brian Hitch did this whole book by himself. I really like the art in it a lot. The story for the most part is okay, but there's parts of it that I'm just like, so if Thawne kills Flash before he becomes the Flash again and stops the events of Flashpoint, doesn't that just undo actual Flashpoint? Like it doesn't actually happen for the first time. And then
there seemed to be something off.
Yeah. And then there's something that the Thomas Wayne Batman says, that it almost sounds like Martha died in his universe. Like he was the only one that survived. But as we know from the Flashpoint Batman miniseries, Martha did survive and she became the Joker. So, and by the way, if you haven't read that Flashpoint series, you really should read the main series, read the Batman. Those are really the only two that are, like, the main one was freaking awesome. The Batman one was great. But anyway,
even the Aquaman, I mean, everything's really good with it, but
Yeah, most of it was good, but the ones that were really good were Batman and the main run. The thing I thought was cool was when the new gods all show up and Barda is the new dark side, and they're all doing like Barda is. Yeah. And I'm just like, what is going on here? that was pretty sweet. And I don't know if this Wonder Woman War of the Gods thing is really going to be like, have they solicited that event?
That's what's weird, that because so that came out, that was the previous, like a couple weeks ago.
Okay, that's
what they were, I had no idea, like,
so they just shipped it out of order.
It might have been a COVID thing, and yeah, they misshipped them. Yeah, it was weird. It's like you know, continue on in War of the Gods, and I'm like, read that 2 weeks ago. That's good. We can continue on with that. So.
Well, I'm wondering what the War of the Gods one says at the end of it now. And now I may have to go back out and pick it up.
It's in my box.
Because I don't normally pick up these like Tales of the Multiverse stuff. But I guess it is the Dark Multiverse version. So that would make a little more sense. But I don't normally pick these up. But I love Flashpoint so much that I was like, I'll check that out. Like I checked out all I checked out like the Green Lantern Corps one from the first Tales of the Dark Multiverse. Good. That was really good. But you know, overall it was pretty good. It was just like, there were some things in there that I was like, I don't know. Does that contradict it? Like, how does that work? But I guess if it's Dark Multiverse, I just got to let it, you know, go with the wind.
It's just an Elseworld story. Basically, that's the way I look at it. So it's just modern Elseworld. It was good, but there was something off. Yeah. I don't know. It was okay for me. Same as you, I think. Just kind of.
It wasn't great. Like, I really liked the art, and I thought the writing was solid, but I didn't think the story was as good as I hoped it was going to be.
They could have done
better. And I think it's, you know what I think it is? It's just that I hold Flashpoint so high up in my comic library of things I've read as it's come out, and it's been a big event. You know, because I loved, you know, I love Barry Allen. I love everything that whole Flash stuff did. So it's you know, I guess it's kind of like that same vibe I had reading like Doomsday Clock, where it was like, well, you're kind of like the Watchmen.
Yeah, but you're not.
You're just not quite there, but it's got a really good element of it. So, all right, what do you got?
First one I'm going to talk about, Aftershock, Piecemeal, prestige format, right? Columbine. Yeah, that's, I mean, as soon as I see his name on something, I, you know, horror aspect, and I want to read it. The art was really cool. The story still has me kind of confused. Basically, a group of kids, they go into a house and they're trying to determine like how their life's going to be in the future, and they're never going to see each other again, that kind of stuff. Well, they go into this haunted house for like one last hoorah type of thing. They find a brain in a jar, and basically there was like a serial killer that lived there, and he attracts people to this house as like a ghost or spirit or whatnot, kills the people, and then kind of like uses their body parts, is how I kind of interpreted it, uses their body parts as like a way to rebuild himself. It's just a one shot. It was a pretty good, if you like horror and you like Columbine, go ahead and check it out and whatnot. Just kind of hoping for a little bit more, cause this was the book that I was most excited to read this week. And it was okay. It was just an okay. But, like I said,
it's okay.
That's kind of how I felt about this week. It was just okay. So, yeah, check it out. If you want a good little horror story and you like Columbine, it's a must-have. Plus, I love prestige format of magazine size of anything anymore, so I always check them out. So
awesome. it just sounds really funny because, like, when you started talking about the book, I thought you were talking about another book that we're going to talk about a little later because it starts out with almost
they were very similar. And yes. I'm like, what, but the other one was better. The other one was better.
No, yeah.
The other I'll one let is, you is talk about it, and then I'll jump in. So, well, I knew you were going to review that.
I'm not going to. That's going to be my third book. I'm going to do, since we don't have a guest this week, I'm doing three. So, my second book is the DC Very Merry Multiverse Christmas Special, 10 Tales of Heroic Hijinks. So I'm reading through these, and a lot of them are like the same kind of like a Christmas story or a Christmas Carol where like it's here's the alternate versions of things that could happen. But there were some cool things, like the Harley one was really good. There's a, especially since they made like Harley makes some meta jokes, like she like her angel is actually a triplet for the Wonder Twins. He was the one without any powers and he became an angel somehow. So that was kind of funny. But she says, here it is. I see this movie before and even seen one time as a limited FX miniseries with Tom Hardy. This ain't going to work for me. And then the first world she goes to, which is the little Gotham world, there's a little Bane in there and he has like the jacket that Tom Hardy wore in the Dark Knight movie, which is funny because then there's another thing where she's like, I don't remember Blackest Night being this adorable, and you have like a black Lantern, Superman, and Batman there. She's a White Lantern in there. She goes to a couple different worlds. In one, she's like extremely boring, and is a realtor in Huntington Beach. And she hates it. And then eventually she finds that she really loves, Christmas again. The Gotham by Gaslight wasn't real great for me. There's another one where it was like a gender swap future style thing that was kind of cool, where it was like it wasn't Starro but it was something like Starro was possessing like a futuristic Justice League, and that a lot of the people on the like almost Teen Titans were like their kids, like Donald Troy, and he's dressed like Donna Troy. So that was kind of cool. There's like two different Bizarro ones in here. The first one is the Bizarro with the black Superman. So it's actually Bizarro Black Superman. I'm only saying that because he has dreadlocks. And there's a black, and it's black Superman in the main story, like where he's fighting. Mm-hmm. So it was like, yeah. So it's like, okay. The story was pretty funny. It was kind of cute. The Batman Beyond one was very good, where basically Terry goes to like get the bat sub that has sunk to the bottom of the river, and as a Christmas gift for Bruce, and he basically like ends up in like a hyperbolic chamber because he's like completely hallucinating about these different futures of Christmas. There was like another one with like the demon and like a Justice League Dark that I didn't really think was that, like, it just didn't do anything for me. There's one on Bizarro World, which was really funny because he's dropping off Christmas gifts to all like the Bizarro versions of everybody. My favorite one was the one where it's Bizarro Wonder Woman is like, what am this supposed to be? The spirit of giving to? And Bizarro goes, yes, new visible plane for you. Me giving and feeling dead inside. let me see. There was another really good one too. Oh, there's this one with Booster Gold that's really funny, where it's like in his planet Krypton restaurant. That's just really good. There's one with Prez that I didn't really care for. And then there's a Lobo one, and the Lobo one, it like doesn't seem like it's going anywhere until the end, and then you're like, oh, he's saving dolphins, that makes sense. Overall, like, so 5 of the 10 stories I thought were good. But it was pretty good for, let's see how much this is, for a $9.99 one shot. It's got some fun holiday stories in it. I definitely check it out every year. I was actually sad though that this didn't have anything from the Super Pets, because that's my favorite thing is the Super Pets. And last year's I think did have a Super Pets story in it with Batcow, Detective Chimp, and Ace and Crypto. They were or Titus and Crypto, because Ace is like super old. But I thought it was good. It was fun.
It was popular. I didn't order very many of them because they usually don't do very good for me. But
no,
this one was people. It was a thing. People were trying to grab them all and whatnot. So, you know. But no, I did not read that. But it looked good for like Christmas stories and stuff like that. They always do the Halloween
ones. They're never like those. The Halloween one, like even the summer specials. They're never huge sellers. Mm-hmm. But there's usually like. There's usually like a good percentage of the stories are usually pretty good for whoever reads it, because like you may like the stuff I don't and I may like the stuff you don't, but because there's so many stories, it balances out pretty well. Now at $10 a pop, that's still a little bit more than what I really want to pay for a book. If it was like an $8 prestige like that, much better for me, but that's just my opinion.
You want to talk about $10 books. For like a kids, if you guys are looking for something for kids, The Heroes from Home, it was actually kind of cute, but $10 for this little book, like, really? Come on, Marvel. But DC got you with, at least they got a regular size one. This thing's like a little kid book, like this for $10, but whatever. It was cute for kids and whatnot. So, but my next book, and this was probably the big story that I wanted to read this week. I have a thing for the Phoenix, so picked up Avengers 39.
Nice.
I kind of jump on and off Avengers when I find a story that's actually pretty good. I didn't read the Moon Knight stuff previously, but they've been kind of building on this for a while. If you guys are familiar with the early Avengers stuff from this run by Jason Aaron, they talked about the BC Avengers, like, you know, Odin and Lady Phoenix and Ghost Rider and all the old, like, but anyways, he continued on with this, and it was kind of like the intro into their new Marvel's news thing is Enter the Phoenix. It basically just talked about her origin, Lady Phoenix's origin, and how the Phoenix Force is going to be fighting between, it's what, neither a villain or a hero to take at this time. And it seems like people's going to have the power, a few of them, like, you know, A versus X in the past. Pretty good intro if you like Phoenix stories, and I do. I kind of have a soft spot for them if they're written well. So
right,
it was a pretty good little thing. And then I like the BC stuff. It'd be kind of cool if they actually do a little series with the old characters and, you know, Odin, Swamp Thing, all them. But pretty good start to it. And then the cool part is it's Jason Aaron and Dale Keown doing it, and I think Keown did some of the artwork on the inside. So that was, the art's really, really nice too. So it's not like the Avengers stuff's been real, like, cheesy, like, kind of kiddie looking to me. Mm-hmm. And now this is really good art now. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Check it out if you like.
You and I kind of talked about that the other day where I was like, really, another Phoenix Force? Really?
Yeah.
Although, like, last time I was like, oh, sweet. Everybody's super pumped except for, like these make sense except for Cyclops. Now, these ones, it's like, what happens when you give like a bunch of regular, it's almost regular people this time, right? Like the non-real super troopers.
Well, I don't know. It's just started into it, and they just have like, they have a few villains. I mean, the Hulk, I think there was a picture of the Hulk having it, and Wolverine and some other. So I don't think it's going to be regular.
Wolverine,
I think it's
just, again?
Like, it's up for, it's, well, they've been talking about that for a while. They did it in that Infinity. Do you remember that Wolverine Infinity little story? Yeah, they've talked about it there and whatnot, but we'll see how it goes. So hopefully it's good. At least the artwork's good, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Fair enough. All right. My last book, which we're both going to talk about, is Homesick Pilots from Image Comics. Number one. And this is Dan Waters and Casper Wingard. I believe is how you say that name. This book was kind of cool because, like, I didn't think it was gonna be as horror as it is.
Mm-hmm. It actually is.
Yeah. It. But this is like the kind of book that draws me in, and I like. And it's got a style that. Do you remember? What was it called? Songbird. I think that Jim Bartel did. It reminds me a lot of that. Just from the color palette they use. The art in this is super, super strong. And I always love any book that talks about punk rock. So it's like the challenge of the punk bands. And they're playing on a pier, and like that part, like it's almost like little dashes of like movies I love. Like there's this really cool scene of like this carousel on a pier, and that scene alone, that whole page reminds me of like the Lost Boys.
That's what I told people when they was picking it. I said it has a Lost Boys vibe to it.
Yeah. So then, you know, there's like a, instead of a cave, like the Lost Boys, there's this creepy old house. And people disappear for weeks or months in there. So the one person from the one band goes in there and disappears. So they all go looking for her, and you find the other band in there, just kind of doing the same thing for no reason to be in there. Then the one guy tries to basically stab them and rob them. And then the house fights back, and there's this beautifully awesome murder scene.
His damn head popped off. That's what got me. When his head popped off, that was, I loved it.
So. I was like, what is going on here? This is amazing. And then all of a sudden, like, it becomes like almost like a Saw house. Like the door is no longer the door. Shit's going nuts. Like the hallway's getting trippy. They open a door and it's like just blood flies everywhere. And then all of a sudden it cuts to like this apartment building and this couple that were probably getting ready for the night. And all of a sudden ghost of that girl shows up looking for a haunted shoehorn. I'm in, like, and the band that they're in is called Homesick Pilots. The other band that they were kind of fighting against was the Nuclear Bastards.
Yeah. Nuclear Bastards. That's right. But that, it was a surprising hit.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I'd actually kind of like it. And as soon as the head popped off, I was there. I didn't know really what to think. And then it kind of, when it became more horror-esque, then I liked it a lot. So I didn't really know what to expect.
Picked it up without any expectation of it at all. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm going to check this out and see how it goes. I mostly like that. Like I said, I like that color palette. I thought the art looked kind of cool. So I just picked it up on a whim, and it turned out to be excellent. So, yeah. I'll definitely be checking that out. But there was another book that used that similar color palette called Thumbs that I liked.
Yeah.
I think that was also Image that put that out. So.
It was. I think with Image, this is just a rule of thumb for me. I usually try out every first issue because you never know what you're going to get. So Image is kind of one of them. They don't get overbearing with it, but you maybe got one new one every couple of weeks. You try out something new. So
at least
for me, Image you try out. So,
oh yes.
Yeah. I don't know. But sticking with Image, we didn't talk about this before, which it actually has no name on it. Cause this is the Virgin, Crossover by Donny Cates. We didn't go over it at first because
I might have the regular one sitting here. Hold on.
I didn't review it the first time because I wasn't certain what to really think of it because I didn't know if I liked it. And I still don't really know if I like it or not, but I'm still going to continue reading it. But the first page, you open it up, and apparently Brian K. Vaughan was murdered. Robert Kirkman, Scott Snyder, and who was the other one? And Robert Kirkman and Scott Snyder and somebody else was kidnapped, and basically all the writers of all these books are going missing. Basically the premise is, it's like the way Donnie's writing this is, it all like DC, Marvel, every comic company is kind of like, they've opened up, like they've not invaded so much, but they're stuck on this world now. They've somehow crossed over this world, and this world's like controlling them. Somehow this world is able to control these superheroes, Spawn, Batman. You see Batman hanging out in prison stuff. I don't know about all that, Donnie. I mean, you're going to control all these people. This just regular Homestead's going to control them, but. And then basically, like the normal everyday Joes are there too. So you got families there from the comic book world. And the main character, they're basically like watching out for this little girl, and she's from she looks like she's from like an Archie book or something like that. Well, here she's got these crazy powers that they reveal on the last page. But that's basically what the story is. I'm still not sure if I understand it all, what really is going on, but basically we're going to see.
She's got like the old school, like dot matrix face.
Yeah. Well, all of them do. All like the background characters, like just normal people are all dotted out, and they got them all contained because they don't know who has powers and who doesn't have powers. So
right. This
world's like basically controlling everything, and there's still some supervillains and heroes out there. And then in the last page, everybody's talking about it could be Shogun Warrior, could be Mobile Suit Gundam, you know, who they're trying to reference in the last page of number two, which is kind of cool. It's cool seeing all these like different companies mixed together. So it's a cool concept. We'll see how it plays out and whatnot, but
yeah, I'm cool with that. I mean, that'd be kind of.
I'm not certain what it's even really. I don't even know if I'm doing it justice. I'm even talk because I don't even know if I'm understanding it all exactly right. But pretty cool seeing all the characters and whatnot all mixed together. So
I love when books like just completely break that fourth wall like that. Like
this is broke. Yeah,
yeah, because like there's like that Fantastic Four issue where like the Thing dies and they go to heaven and like Jack Kirby is God. There's that one. There's like a really excellent issue of Sex Criminals where in the middle of it, Matt Fraction is like, he's like got writer's block. So he calls Chip and Chip's like playing video games in a robe. And he's like, I'm just living off this, Howard the Duck money. He's like, I'm just over here doing blow and playing video games. Like, and that's like kind of doing it. And like, but it's them in the book taking up those chunks of the storyline.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was so funny. So funny. So
it's cool to see kind of like just that mix of stuff. It was Chip Zdarsky. Chip Zdarsky, Scott Snyder, and Robert Kirkman were all kidnapped. We don't know where they're at right now. So it's kind of weird. That was a cool first page.
That's pretty perfect. Not going to lie.
You got all kinds of good writers and whatnot in there. And then the funny thing was is that they was making fun of Brian K. Vaughan to me. Oh, they only referred to him as the runaway guy. Didn't give him no credit for Saga or, you know, Why the Last Man, anything. Let's not talk about that stuff. Let's just talk about runaways. But pretty neat. So I'm going to stick with it and see what it's got. So
that's awesome. I already mentioned Matt Fraction. So that's a great segue. So this week we got to see some of the leaked photos of the set of Hawkeye, which is coming to Disney Plus end of next year or beginning of 2022. It's one of the two. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But Haley Steigfried is the Seinfeld. Yeah. She's playing Bishop. Kate Bishop. And then Jeremy Renner is coming back as Hawkeye. And we're going to get Florence Pugh, I believe is how you say it. She's gonna be the Yelena, the other Black Widow, Widow that'll be in the movie that comes out this year. Pizza Dog's in it. Jack Duquesne is in it, who is the swordsman, and
that's right. I did see that.
And he kind of raised Hawkeye. So I'm very interested to see how much of the Fraction stuff they do, who does show up, if that Black Widow is going to be like the Black Widow from the book, like if we're going to get, are we going to get Spider-Woman in there at all? Are we going to get Hellcat in there at all? Are we going to get anybody else? Excuse me. Cause, one of the running jokes was that he would be sitting there like drinking coffee and then like an ex-girlfriend would come up. And it was like another ex-girlfriend and another ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it was, they always had like this like mod kind of hair, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. But my one big thing that I really, really hope they do is I hope Grylls is in it. For those of you who have not read this Matt Fraction Hawkeye run, you need to do it. It's my favorite Hawkeye run, period. And probably some of the best comic work I've ever read in my life. The art was great by Dave Asia or Aha. I don't know how to say which one. It's AJA, whatever. Yeah. And like just the running jokes that are in there, like the Russian guys in tracksuits and who you can't, like when they speak, it's like gibberish and then you hear bro and then gibberish and bro. And I'm just like, that's hilarious. And even when the pizza dog issue was there, which is Lucky the pizza dog, which is Hawkeye's dog, like everybody who talks, he hits like a word here and there, and he runs into one of the Russian guys, and it's still the same, like gibberish bro.
Mm-hmm.
So that, like, I definitely feel like I'm probably going to end up rereading at least the first story arc of that before that show comes out. But I thought everything looked great. Kate looks great. Like,
that was an excellent casting. I like that girl. Yeah. She's got talent, and I think she'd make a great Kate Bishop. So,
oh yeah, I
hope she
I really something. Liked her in both Bumblebee and
good
and
everything.
She was
the shit in True Grit when she was younger.
Oh,
and yeah. Then she played in Ender's Game, which
I love
Ender's Game.
You know, she played like, right?
a great big part. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But she was good in that, and she sings and whatnot too. So she's talented.
She was on Edge of 17. That was a really good movie too that I thought she was in. But yeah, I thought she looked great. I'm curious if they're gonna give her like the Mrs. Peel outfit that she wore like after that series, where it's like the purple outfit with like the hips showing.
Yeah.
Which if people didn't know, that's actually a throwback to Steed and Mrs. Peel, the original Avengers from Britain. Like she wore that in an episode. Like that was one of her costumes. Mm-hmm. It was great. So yeah, I mean I'm down for it. I think it's gonna be great.
I don't like Hawkeye. I've never been a Hawkeye fan. He's a cheap knockoff of Ollie Green to me. So, but
they
I do
both
like
have
Jeremy,
their strengths.
I do like Jeremy Renner, so that saves it for me. So, would I read a Hawkeye book? No, I never will. But I do like Jeremy Renner. He's always been good in everything I watch. So, check it out.
I think he really delivers the sarcastic funny, and we've seen that in the, you know, the whole first. You know, all the Marvel movies that he's been in, like he's really delivered that sarcastic fun.
Yeah, he's been good.
And that's really the kind of vibe he's always had that's the reason I've liked him as a character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So and maybe we'll get to see a little bit of him growing up and being kind of not a good guy for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, because I doubt we're going to see him be in the Thunderbolts. That'd be real crazy if they talked about that.
Never know.
Right.
So,
all right. So, yeah, we're looking forward to Hawkeye. Also, I'm really looking forward to WandaVision, but once we get a little more of that, I'll talk about that. So, now it's time for our weekly Mandalorian review.
Yes. Can't wait till tomorrow.
Oh, I know, right? So, this is the first time it has broken my I like the even number or the odd numbers. Because this is an even number because it was episode 6, I believe, of the season, and it was just as good as the odd numbers.
Yep.
Like, just like the only thing that was like kind of dumb to me was like, why do you make him take off his jetpack just to make him run up and down the hill? Like, come on. That was the only thing that annoyed me about the episode was that very specific thing of, oh, we need a plot so that he doesn't just fly up the hill.
See,
we'll make him take off his jetpack. But then we know he has remotes for it because we watched him blow the other dude up.
Yeah.
So what the hell? Come on.
It was so unexpected. I mean, I thought we was going to get like a filler episode. Because, you know, you had Ahsoka, they mentioned Thrawn in the past when, like, all these big things happen. And then the next episode, you figure, this is going to be kind of dull. He's going to take the kid there and, you know, set him on a little pedestal, and that's going to be about it. He might fight some bad guys. And then when you got Boba that shows up, sorry, spoiler, but if you haven't watched it, you've waited too long. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been almost a week.
So
you got to get going. Come on. Come on.
Just the fact that Boba is in it, and it seems like he may be kind of like a little bit of a reoccurring character maybe for the rest of the season, I don't think you can ask for much better. The only thing that I do hesitate is wondering, well, you know, how much is Boba going to distract from like the Mandalorian and the kid? Because Boba's such a fan favorite. Like, as soon as he was on the screen, I'm going to tell you, I was grinning ear from ear. I'm not gonna lie, like right. It made me so happy to see him, and then especially when he put the armor on, even though he looked a little chunky. Everybody's making fun, but he did
I thought of that too.
Yeah. He had his garb on and stuff. I think let him work it
right.
Work with.
A little I mean, bit it's there. Been like, holy crap! It had been at least like what 6 years, something like that, 8 years, something like
yeah.
that.
But I think it was just the clothes that they had, like his Tusken Raider garb that he had yeah. underneath there. But
I agree.
I like. It'll distract me from like the kid and, you know, Mando, because Boba's just, it's awesome. So, and I'm hoping they give him some respect. I always thought in the movies and everything, he always got punked out by everybody. I mean, he got sent flying across the screen, you know, jetpack. And this, he just come out like a total fucking badass and just beat the shit out of everybody. And it was just like the Boba that you read in comics, like later in comics that were so good, like just his different stories and, you know, blood ties and stuff like that. It was so cool. So hopefully we can just get like a Boba series and I'd be happy. And then a Darth Maul and then I'll be happier.
I kind of feel like we're going to see him. I'm almost willing to bet at the end of this season, he will either like go back into hiding or he'll die.
Yeah,
I think either way, I think that Mando that we know, because we don't really, he doesn't have a name, right?
Yeah.
He's just the Mandalorian. I think he's going to end up taking the Fett, like the symbol.
It's like a passing of his armor. Torch kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
I think we're going to see that. And I want to say we're going to see him take over Slave One, obviously, because, you know, Razor Wing?
Yeah.
Gets destroyed, which was like the saddest part of the episode for me. I was like, no.
Yeah.
But, And you and I kind of talked about this the other day too, where like the scene where he's just beating face. So the thing that blows my mind, and maybe it's just because of the timeline in which that we are at in the Star Wars universe here, is it like we've gone through all the good stormtrooper armor. We're now at the armor that like can't like a stormtrooper armor can like take a blaster. Like, and you know, it'll still hurt you and penetrate, like, it'll still like forcefully crush your insides, but it's not gonna shatter. But here comes Boba Fett with a big steel rod and just whack, and then boom, shatter. I'm like, come on,
I told you this is not real. I told you this yesterday. It's the power of Boba, it's his power. You can't question it. It just happened. You accept it. So I agree with you though. I can see your point of view, but because I don't think we've ever seen that before. I was talking to TJ about that. Yeah. I don't think I've ever in all the movies and everything you've seen, has ever one ever exploded like he did?
No, with Boba's? It's never exploded so like either. That. Like that's what I'm saying. Like it's so like I mean we've seen him get hit by trees. We've seen them get, you know, blasted by like an AT-AT, like on Endor. Like, how is this shit not stronger? Or like I said, are they like down to the point where they're like, Empire's gone. We got to make with what we can.
There's some shitty craftsmen there then.
Just shit's breaking everywhere. And I'm just like, what is going on?
I'm really curious to see who the kid, because you know he contacted somebody, where it's going to be a good guy, could it be a bad guy,
or both.
There's so many things with that series that I asked myself, like, I was talking to a guy that worked at, is Moff Gideon, does he have like force powers, is he type of a Sith, who's his boss, like, you know, who did the child reach out to? So many cool people are saying, because that new video game, and I can't remember the name, that might be who the kid reached out to. My choice is Quinlan Vos, if you're familiar with him, kind of like the legacy stuff and whatnot. I think they'd reach out to him. There's so many cool options, and it just branches out. And that's what I know a lot of news dropped today, because Hayden Christensen's coming back to play, like all the Star Wars news. And it's just like, they've got something going here, and they just need to run with it now and just like build this big, like, build all these TV shows or movies and just like expand it. It's just so much, just seeing everything pop up. So cool. So seeing how they're doing and different characters being brought in. So neat.
So speaking of characters coming back for new things, Doc Ock and Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield confirmed have been at costuming fittings for Spider-Man 3. That is crazy. Like, if he ends up being the actual bad guy, and that whole scene at the end of Spider-Man 2 is what sends him through a rift that gets him there, I'm going to be excited. I'm wondering if that also confirms that Jamie Foxx will come back as Electro for
He talked about that, though. Jamie Foxx did.
Yeah, I don't know if that was ever actually confirmed, though.
Oh, was it not?
But they did confirm Mary Jane and Gwen Stacy
from
each movie series, which was also cool. I was super pumped for that.
No, I have a question, though, and I read this earlier. The guy that played Doc Ock, he's still alive, right? Or is this a stupid question? Okay, because he'd be the one.
He's obviously older.
I thought he passed. I was under the misconception that he had passed away. So I'm glad he isn't, because he was an awesome Doc Ock. So I'm looking forward to him in that character more than anything else. Like, he was just an awesome Doc Ock. So.
Oh yeah, and see, now I'm going to look it up because
I can't remember his name now.
It's no, I'm mostly looking him up because I want to know how old he is. let's see. All right, so Alfred Molina is holy God, he's like 67 years old. Like right now,
too bad. Yeah,
I don't know. Like, but think about the fact that when he did Spider-Man, he was like 50-ish already.
You bring back those good. I mean, he was an awesome bad guy.
But he's gonna have to carry that big shit. Like he's gonna have to carry all that shit on him. Like
he made that movie. So
he did. That was of the Sam Raimi original Sam Raimi verse. That was my favorite one.
There's certain.
I think it's funny though that Raimi's gonna be doing the Doctor Strange movie, which is even funnier. So
it's just weird. They're like. Some of these guys that I thought that movie was terrible, besides the Doc Ock, but like you look at like the Green Lantern movie, the guy that played Sinestro, was awesome. He was awesome. Kevin Spacey was, I don't care, whatever people's feelings are on Kevin Spacey, not to condone anything.
He was my favorite Lex Luthor.
He was the best Lex Luthor. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, hands down.
So like, despite his off the field.
Whatever he does outside.
Whatever. But it's just like some of these good characters from. I didn't like the early Spider-Man movies. I didn't like Tobey Maguire. I mean, he never hit with me. Now, on the other hand,
I thought the first
Andrew Garfield was my favorite.
So
he had the witty Peter Parker banner, and I love that.
Right. So here's how I look at this. I loved Kirsten Dunst and I loved Emma Stone. So it doesn't really matter about the love interest. Cause I had a thing for both of them at some point in my life. I thought Tobey Maguire played a better Peter Parker, and I thought Andrew Garfield was better as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I thought that them being the opposite was not good because Maguire didn't have the banter, right?
No.
But he looked like Peter Parker. More like Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was way too tall. Like if he were shorter, I'd have bought it. But he's like 6'2". Like, you know, like, all that Spider-Man, that's Tarantula right there. Which he could have played Tarantula. Who knows? Maybe he will. But I thought he had the better Spider-Man moments of banter in the actual like fight scenes and stuff. And then I think Tom Holland does a pretty good balance of the two. Kind of like my whole Batman feelings. Like Michael Keaton's my favorite Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Val Kilmer's my favorite Batman. And then I thought that the one who did the best at both together was Christian Bale.
George Clooney. No. Not George Clooney. Not
at
Nips.
No, all the time.
I'm wrong.
All the time.
So no.
But yeah.
I don't know how I feel about Tom Holland. I don't know. I think I just like him better when he's with like the other Avengers. Then he's okay. He just kind of fades into the background for me. I don't know. So
I liked him better in the second movie. Because
I didn't like the second movie.
I liked the first movie. I liked Homecoming better because I love Mysterio, period. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And Jake Gyllenhaal was very well done in that. But I also like the fact that they like dumbed down the tech of the suit And that's what I like. Cause the first movie I thought was just way, it was basically like, let's have a baby Iron Man, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, okay, I see that you're trying to be the ultimate universe. That's cool. Yeah. Didn't really care for,
I liked Michael Keaton as Vulture. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's because I like him. Like,
oh no, no.
I like him as an actor, so you can't do no wrong type of deal.
I did like him as the Vulture, but I thought that the fight scene was a little too fast at the end.
Yeah,
like it just was not as it was a little too Sony and not enough Marvel. Where I think in the second movie they really got that to be a little more balanced.
Yeah.
But there were some, not to say there weren't good scenes in the first one. Like, I really liked where he's like pulling the boat together that got ripped in half. Like, that was killer. And then in the second one, I really liked where he's fighting like the molten, almost like a molten man.
In
Prague or something.
Yeah, he was fighting like the elementals and whatnot. So.
Yeah, yeah. That even was kind of cool. Yeah, well,
they were not Hydra Man. It wasn't Hydra Man and Molten Man, but they
mentioned Hydra Man.
Was it mentioned? Yeah.
And then they were CGI. They were just special effects. So, but again, I really liked Jake Gyllenhaal. I thought they nailed the villains in both those movies. Good. I thought they nailed it really well. I also thought that it was cool to have that Skrull twist at the end.
I thought
that was cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just not super excited about Tom Holland. Like, I thought he was kind of annoying in the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
I like the look of his suit. I just think that he's, I just felt they kind of like tried to overcompensate with him, especially in Civil War. They were like, oh, we're bringing in Spider-Man. We got to go all.
Yeah, they made him seem too kiddy. Like, I know he should be like a little bit. I mean, he's one of the smartest people in the Marvel universe, but yet they treat him too much kiddie-ish shit, I guess, in the movies. Maybe they need to treat him a little bit more adultish. Yeah. Like, I know he's not supposed to be as old as them guys, but yeah, I mean, he is one of the smartest people supposedly in the Marvel universe. So, I mean, give him some props. So.
Agreed. So, all right. I have one more topic on here that I forgot about that you said something and it triggered it. And I remember, have you watched the Marvel 616 thing on Disney Plus?
I don't have Disney. I don't have Disney Plus. I watch Mandalorian very sneakily.
I was like, wait a minute. How do you watch Mando? Secret. Not gonna worry about it. Anyway. So there's a Marvel 616 miniseries that is on Disney Plus, and it's really good. Like, it talks about these all kinds of random things. It's like 7 or 8 episodes. The first episode is like Japanese Spider-Man and how that even came to happen. And then
like the manga one?
No, like the live action one.
Oh.
Like where they were basically like, he has to be called Spider-Man. He has to have Spider-Man abilities. And then after that, whatever. So like his bad guy was like Dr. Monster. And it was very much so like Power Rangers vibe, like that kind of show, like where Dr. Monster had basically putties with like beaks. And that Spider-Man had a fucking Zord. He had a mech. So then way later, like what, 10 years ago when the first Edge of Spider-Verse came out.
Oh, I know.
Character then actually became
sort
of a real character, but they made her a girl.
Remember that now.
And I think she was supposed to be the daughter of that Spider-Man. Anyway, and he had like a Spider-Mobile. Like, it wasn't the spider buggy. It was like a legitimate car with like guns and shit on it. It was nuts.
It's weird. I own a lot of that stuff, but I have never read Edge of Spider-Verse.
I read the first one. I didn't read the second one. I read the first one because I was like, I loved Mayday. And that was the reason I was if Mayday is going to be in here, I'm going to read it. So that's why I read it. And I loved Jessica Drew as well as Jessica Carpenter. So since both of them were now in it, I wanted to see what Jessica Carpenter was like as a Madame Web. That was kind of cool. So anyway, to continue on with that, the series, like there's a cool episode about like women in Marvel, and like not just the characters but the creators, and like how they all tied together and how they made them work. And how, like, if you went back to like Millie the Model, like at one point when the first time Marvel almost went bankrupt, they basically cut off everything and they focused on like young dudes, and then they slowly brought women back in, and then, you know, there was that big spike when like Kelly Sue DeConnick took over Captain Marvel. And Miss Marvel came out, and there was a really awesome backstory about like Kamala Khan's character and how that even came with Willow Wilson. It was really, really cool to check out. There was another episode that's, I believe it was there was one about the toys. There's one about a live action that, so they made the first volume of Miss Marvel and the first volume of Squirrel Girl into plays for like high schoolers.
Yeah.
And like they show two classes doing these plays. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, I know the Miss Marvel and the Squirrel Girl. That's why they kept it, had those series keep going all that time.
Yeah.
Because they were school or, you know, the books and whatnot. So
there was one about how they pull creators from like all over the world. And there was some good, it was kind of cool because it was the one guy who does Miles Morales, the woman who did the art on Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, and I forget who the other one was, but it was kind of cool to watch them, like the dude for Miles, like he was like, I go out and I literally walk around New York City and I take pictures of what I want, or I find pictures online of New York and use them as real backgrounds and like set up scenes.
Freeze for.
Yeah, it was really kind of cool to watch him do that with this big freaking light board, and he just like printed out like a transparent of like a New York skyline, and then he just drew Peter and Miles sitting there. And then my favorite one is the it's the Marvel Method one. So it's Dan Slott writing Iron Man 2020 number one, and it's actually him like going through the motions of, here's how I do this. And then, oh crap, I have writer's block, so I'm going to bring Christos Gage in here, and I'm going to give him the outline, and he's going to write the words. And I forget who the artist was, but like he did the whole book. He did all the pencils, all the inks, all the coloring, all digital, of course.
Yeah.
But they talked about how the Marvel Method was kind of that. It was, you take, here's the story idea, and the artist basically does the art first, and then the writer goes back and writes in all the words. Where now most of the time you have guys do a full script and it's like, here's what this panel is, here's what this panel is. But it was actually kind of cool to watch,
to see,
talk about.
How they do it.
Definitely worth it. But there was like one or two that I was kind of like, I don't really care. I can't remember which ones they were though, but it was kind of cool. So definitely check that out. If you guys haven't, it's the Marvel 616 miniseries on Disney Plus. All right. You have anything else?
I'm trying to think if there was any other news and whatnot today. I don't recall. Or else my brain just ain't working.
That's all right. I mean, really I saw the Hayden news Christensen and thing. Like,
That popped up. And
that popped up like an hour ago. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Or an hour before we started.
Going on. So.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything else super duper crazy.
Just a whole bunch of Star Wars news that I saw that was kind of taken off. So just talking about all their new shows and stuff like that, and that's all I really cared about. Oh, they're doing something with Buck Rogers too, I saw. Oh yeah, they're doing a new thing. Brian K. Vaughn's doing the Buck Rogers, and then they did announce who the next Batman was going to be for that the future slate, and people were kind of talking about that was it's going to be Tim Fox, not the Batwing.
So that's Lucius's
it's
grandson.
Lucius. No, it's just son.
So it's
son.
His Luke's his younger brother.
Luke's.
So it's Lucius, brother. Luke,
no,
and
it's,
then
it's no, it's Lucius's dad, and then Tim. Tim is going to be the black. He's going to be the Batman in this future slate or whatever the hell
it's
called.
He's older than Luke, who was the first Batwing.
He was the Batwing, yeah.
Okay.
Which,
because I think Tim was the Batwing at some point, right?
I can't remember. Tim Fox, I don't know. Tim Fox was kind of like a I thought they should have used Luke. That seems to make more sense to me, but I mean, they kind of dug down deep for this Tim Falk stuff, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I'm actually kind of looking forward to that. So
I'm surprised they didn't give it to Duke, but
that would pop, but he's too young. I mean, well, I mean, this is set in the future. So I guess, what is his name? Duke Thomas? Yeah, it's Duke Thomas. Mm-hmm. But he is no, you got to figure. I mean, since maybe they're doing it since Alfred passed away, and like now within the, they're kind of keeping it to, because I think the Foxes are in control of like Wayne's money now. Since the after Joker War and everything like that, so maybe that's what they're doing. They're just kind of like following along with the way things are going. So we'll see. But I did see that going on too. So some news, some actual good news coming out that will, you know, movie news and TV show news, which we all kind of need now at this time. So
yeah, I mean, for like the last couple of weeks, it's been really
stuff popping.
Yeah, not super heavy, but I'm really enjoying some of the stuff that's coming
out. Some stuff's coming out. Yeah. I mean, we got Dune to look forward to. Wonder Woman, the new Wonder Woman will be looking forward to and stuff like that. So there's,
I am debating actually getting HBO Max for that.
Cool. You should. I mean, even if you have Amazon, get HBO and then you have HBO, HBO Max, and they include it in. They did with me. So that's how I have HBO Max now, is I never signed up for it. They just sent me an email. Hey, we're going to give you HBO Max since you have HBO on Amazon. I was like, yeah, thank you. Thank you, y'all. So
I'll see how that works. Cause I was, I was talking to Todd, and somehow we started talking about the new Wonder Woman movie. And he was like, I don't know how they don't make more money off these things. He's like, but you're now letting me watch on release day a movie I really give a shit about. He's like, I'll pay $50 to fucking watch that on my couch. And I was like, I don't know 100%. If I'd pay $50, but I'd pay, like, if I got to keep it forever. Yes. I agree with him.
You
know, if it was $50 and I got to keep it forever, and like, that's cool. But with the way digital stuff works, like, you know, it's always scary to me to be like, well,
I understand.
If they decide to not carry it anymore, you bought it, but it doesn't matter. You're screwed. Yeah. They don't have it.
I understand what you mean. Yeah.
I don't mind like the $5 and I get it for 2 days. Like, it's kind of like Redbox, you know, whatever. Actually, I think that was how we talked about it. It was like, it was Redbox. He said, I ran somewhere and I saw a Redbox and I forgot that those existed. I was like,
I do.
Yeah, that's pretty true. So that was kind of interesting. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. So
I don't know. I don't have that movie theater nostalgia like some people do. Like, they want to see it in front of the big screen. I think the last movie I went and saw was like one of the Fast and Furious, like the old ones.
Oh, wow.
Otherwise, I don't want to go to the movies ever. So, me getting it at home, $20, $25, if I need to pay for it, yeah, sure, I'll pay that to sit on my ass at home and watch it.
Yeah, I'm kind of 50-50. Like, I like, there's certain things that I'm like, I really want to see it on screen. It's a lot like collecting, like, you know, like, I'm really into music, so like, I'll still buy CDs of bands I love.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So like a Marvel movie, I really want to see, for the most part, on the big screen. I really have no excitement to watch Black Widow except for Red Guardian. That is literally the only reason I would see that on big screen. And I liked the first Wonder Woman a lot. I don't know if I liked it enough to spend a ton of money on it, but I did think it was good.
She's an awesome Wonder Woman, but
I'll be honest, I'm mostly interested to see how they pull off Cheetah.
Yeah.
Because I like Kristen Wiig, and I thought that was cool. But I thought she was a weird choice for that character.
She is a weird choice. That's a very odd choice. We'll see how that plays out. I didn't like Ares from the first one. So I just thought that was a poor first character to start off with for her to fight. Like, Cheetah could have been the first, and I'd have been, like, acceptable with it. So, I don't know, the Ares thing was kind of weird to me.
But the Ares thing would have worked out better if they would have gone into the... If they wouldn't have had Steve Trevor at all, and they would have just focused in on, like, Theramecia, and, like, more, like, a gods-type story, almost like the New 52 stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been great. But... Yeah. I kind of agree with you. Like, I don't think it was as, it didn't punch as much as it could have, you know?
And we'll see if it's the Snyder release. That's what I'm looking forward to. And any time now they can release that and see if I
heard they're releasing it in like hour chunks, like 4 1-hour chunks.
Also, I just want to see goddamn Darkseid and fix that movie. Just do something with it, fix it. So,
well, I just hope that whatever we get isn't worse, because I'll it's be very possible. Sad.
It's is possible.
I mean, I already don't like the Steppenwolf from the Snyder side.
Like, that was than Ares. That was a worse than Ares decision for Steppenwolf. Having him as the bad guy for that Justice League movie was stupid.
Right.
Stupid.
But I liked the Whedon look to him more than I liked the Snyder look to him.
Yeah.
That's just me personally.
They just need to take Steppenwolf. They just need to redo a whole movie and just take him out of it and put somebody else in.
I mean, so to be fair, he's kind of like the Silver Surfer of you know, if Darkseid was Galactus, he's kind of his Silver Surfer, right?
No, I don't know.
But I also feel that they could have saved him for more of a New Gods movie.
Yeah, they could have had him with like Granny Goodness and that, you know, they could have had him with the other
Furies and stuff. Granny like that. And the Furies would have showed up, it'd have been a totally been way better movie.
Been better.
Like if we don't get to see I know we're gonna see Desaad, which is cool. Mm-hmm. So if we don't get to see Granny and the Furies and Barda and Orion and Miracle in this, I'm gonna be really sad. I'm gonna be like,
nope, be awesome,
waste of money.
So yeah, be awesome. At least get some of them in there. At least just get Darkseid in there. Have him. That should have been the first bad guy, not Steppenwolf. Not have him coming in. They tried to do a Thanos thing. Marvel succeeded where DC flopped it. Well, so
DC didn't have any movies to tie it into.
Is trying to push it. They pushed it too fast.
Right. And they didn't tie every single movie. They didn't have an Easter egg in every movie. And I agree. I think they did it too fast. I think they tried to push it more almost like Guardians 2 more than that. And I didn't like I'm not a big fan of the Guardians movies because I thought it felt very happy.
First one was good.
Together. I like the first one better, but I just thought the joke seemed very flat and very just
Dave Bautista cracks me up. I don't know. Dave Bautista cracks me up. And then what's his face? Oh my God. Merle. He played Merle on Walking Dead. The blue guy. Oh my God. Yondu. My brain.
Yeah.
Yondu was fucking. And what is his name? Harry. Oh God. His real name in real life. I don't know. He was awesome in that movie. So I don't care. So it was a terrible movie, but you had a couple good silver lines.
I'm not saying that parts weren't funny. I'm just saying that a lot of the jokes for me felt very forced.
Yeah, they did.
I thought they were aiming at a really young, like, target audience there. I mean, obviously when you have a talking tree and a talking raccoon, that makes sense.
Still, I mean, Guardians was like that was a weird choice for Marvel even in the beginning to bring to have that be a forefront like that, a movie that was kind of still kind of unbelievable because they were kind of obscure. So,
well, I think they wanted to tie them in because they didn't have a Fantastic Four and they didn't have an X-Men.
Yeah, they needed.
They were
going
to do the Infinity Gauntlet. They got to have somebody.
Yeah, you needed
right?
a team of something. Yeah.
Or I guess Black Panther may have been like the nod to having the Fantastic Four there and Guardians. I guess they're kind of like they were kind of their X-Men, but they were also you couldn't have done anything with Nebula without having Guardians, and they were because of that. That was part of that story, So they kind of had to have them in there. But
You brought up Black Panther. I'm really anxious to see. They was talking about that the other day too. I'm really anxious to see what they do with that. I think they need to give it to Shuri for the movie aspect of it. I like her as an actress and.
I'm just curious to know how they're going to do the pass the baton. Like, are they going to use like footage they've never used before? Are they going to?
It's going to be difficult.
Just kind of be like, he got his ass kicked, and just show the full suit and don't ever show the helmet down. Are they going to?
I think they'll do something classy for him. They'll do something classy for him. At least I hope they do. So
I do too. I mean, I kind of hope they at least do something like they did with. This is going to sound terrible. Something that they did with Princess Leia, but I'm not talking about the random scenes where they're talking to her. I'm talking about the mourning, like the funeral almost vibe that they did.
Yeah.
Like that part is what I want.
I don't want him to make a new T'Challa. I want him to use, like, you could put M'Baku. I can't remember his real name in real life. M'Baku. Yeah. Or you could put Siri and let one of them, like, a passing of the baton. I mean, just for the movie aspect of it, I don't know. I don't want him to replace him, like, putting somebody else in his role as T'Challa. That'd be kind of...
I don't think they will.
I don't know. I hope
I
they
think
don't,
putting but... Shuri back into there...
Shuri
I mean,
would be awesome.
I mean, she was in the books for...
Yeah.
What, like, 2 years? Three years through the Doom War stuff? Now... Yeah. You know, they could also use that as a launching pad to do Doom War, which would then bring in the Fantastic Four and do a reverse of the comics where Fantastic Four brought in Black Panther, like really into the main comic universe. This would be the reversal. So I'm kind of interested to see if they would do that. But yeah, I'm really interested in that. I think it'll be cool. I really just want Eternals to come out. I really just want to watch Eternals.
We'll see. That book comes out next week. That'll probably be on a review for us next week.
Yeah,
so probably. With their 7,000 covers,
right? So, that I guess I should talk about that. So we're gonna have next week. We will have an episode. We will not have one on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve, but we most likely will have one on New Year's Eve. Just for everybody that is keeping score and likes to. You know, if this is one of those things that gets you through your week to decompress and just hear a bunch of nerds talk about random shit, then we're here for you, except on Christmas Eve.
I'll be home. If you want to do it, I'll do it.
I mean, <I'll> be to be honest, we might have a sneak show. We might. I'll tell you what it'll come down to. It'll come down to if there's any really good books that come out that week. That's what we'll do. It may be a short one. It might be a half hour, but you know, that'll be what
it
is.
As soon as I get off work, I'll be ready. So yeah, I ain't doing nothing.
Right. I think I'm working at, that's a Thursday, right? I think I'm at the Mills that day. Yeah. I think I'll be at Mills that day. Probably. If not, I'll be at Cranberry. It's one or the other. It just seems to be where I'm at. All these places needing help, but hey, we're still open, so that's good. But cool. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. I am John, with me as always is Bo.
Take care, everybody,
and we will check you guys out next week on the Toddcast. Thanks a lot.